So the title of this is Come Up Here. And I want to start with Matthew chapter 8 and verse 3. And as usual, if you don't have your Bible, or if you do and you've got finger burn from, you know, flipping the Bible so much in this gathering, you got it? Okay. Matthew 8, verse 3, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, because he asked if he would heal him. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Okay, so this is in relationship to a leper. And what is a leper? Lepers are those who are having problems with their flesh. Maybe not. Some of you are perfect. And they're mainly on this side of the room. Anyway, so, you know, this isn't the same story as the 10 lepers, but you remember the story of the 10 lepers, don't you? And they came and Jesus healed all 10 of them, and he said, go tell the priest. And one of them, as he was going, I love that, as he was going, turned around and came back to his high priest.
Amen.
Yeah, Jesus, instead of the guy that's figurehead, but not really it. And he comes back, and Jesus makes him whole. Wilt thou be made whole? Oh, my. Oh, my, yes. Yes. Anyway, so, and we're going to be going through several scriptures because it's good for you to learn how to flip your phone, Marcia. Luke chapter 4 and verse 40. Luke chapter 4 and verse 40. Now, when the sun was setting, and this is a concept that goes with this setting of the sun. Usually we think of the brighter, you know, going through darkness with Jesus, and that's fine. But Jesus can shine brighter than the sun during the sun being out. Okay, just a little heads up. Now, when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with different diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Okay, so if you took the time to just go through the Bible and look up the times Jesus laid hands on people, you'll find a lot, okay? And the disciples saw it a lot. Apparently, the multitudes had figured that out too, that through the laying on of hands that they could get healed. And so now let's go to Mark chapter 8. And so what I want to show you here, and this is not my primary point, but what I want to show you here in Mark chapter 8 is that Jesus does not want us to grab a pattern of something and claim that that's God. In this case, the laying on of hands. Always laying on hands. And always, you know, getting healed and this and that. But that's not magical. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus is a healer or whatever. But that comes out of him. And it's not something that comes through his hands or whatever. And when we lay hands on the sick and whatever and they get healed, it didn't come through our hands because we're special. You know, get ready. That was just straight from God. Amen? Is that new to y'all? Just kidding. Okay. So Jesus, in an effort to throw that off a little bit, they come to him, and look, it says, and he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. They got so used to it, they bring somebody that's blind to Jesus and say, touch him. Lay hands on him. Okay, so Jesus, in an effort to throw us off from our patterns that we hold on to so strongly, believing in them more than believing in Jesus. So it goes on, verse 23, and he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. Okay? And when he had spit in his eyes, then he laid hands on him, just in case, you know. Now, did anybody here ever read that and wonder, what the heck is that about? You know what I mean? I mean, it didn't say he spit on his hands that had dirt and dirt. He said it spit in his eyes. Come here, dude. Wait a minute. Let me get it. Anyway, Jesus broke him from that habit. Okay, because you get used to stuff, and he goes out of his way to make sure that we're not living by patterns and trusting in them as if the laying on of hands does it. God does it. And we need to have our hearts set on a person, not on an event. No matter how great it is, yes. Not on an event. All right. Let's go to Revelation chapter 1, and we'll start getting into what I really want to get into tonight. Revelation chapter 1, and we're going to talk a little bit about that what we just read about the laying on of hands and everything is similar to the hillside sheep, right? Because they're, I mean, can you picture it again without all this stuff up there? Picture Marcia in the lounge. You'll never forget it, will you? That image will stick with you forever. You're famous. And you're going to hell. But anyway, that's, you know, just kidding. Gosh. All right. First, what did I say? Revelation 1. Let's start at verse 9. Yeah. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, okay, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Okay, so the first thing to notice is that he's speaking from a position, from a place on earth, okay, over issues in the earth. Now, this is going to totally destroy the Patmos teaching that Kelly did in that skit. And that's why we had to finally change to this, so that we could be on track with Jesus. But, I mean, it is. It's they're looking at, or he's looking at a hillside shepherd, if you will, to come and free him from his earthly problems. All right? So, reading on, verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Quickly, anybody see a problem with that? Okay, yes, because he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Okay, well, you know, I remember a couple of years ago, I went to church on the Sabbath, and I was in the Spirit. You know what I'm saying now? That it's like it's an event on the earth. It's with the Lord, yes, but it's an event on the earth instead of it's the Lord. And he's about to come in to the true reality of what God's wanting us to do and what he's been trying to tell us and pouring over us by his Spirit in every form and in some of the most beautiful songs that I've ever heard, you know. Hallelujah. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day and heard. See, yeah, of course you did. You're not there yet. You're hearing it, and you think hearing it is everything. You think somebody was saying that. Oh, it was Carol and Carol. Sorry, was talking about. going to store it away. You know, I'll hear it and I'll store it away, you know, like a little chipmunk or something, you know, in the cheeks or something like that. Well, it doesn't work that way. No, it's got to get it's got to be written in our hearts, you know, and he writes it. You know what I mean? Hallelujah. So there's, as long as we're unaware of it, we're going to miss that. But if we're aware of it, then we can start breaking, even with religious things that are to, you know, deeper life people are not religious at all. This is where it's at. But it's still, you are on the, in the spirit, good. Where at? On the Lord's day, and you heard. I remember Jesus saying one time, and I think it's in Luke 9. I haven't looked it up. I wasn't even thinking about it in this. But Jesus was talking about the cross and all this, and he said, let these sayings sink down into your ears. Oh, that's different, isn't it? That's getting it in your heart. It's just letting it just keep on sinking down. Which is what my spine did. Anyway, sorry. Jumping tracks all the time, Randy. All right, so, and heard behind me a great voice. Not just a voice, a great voice. You know, I'll demonstrate for you by yelling real loud. I was just kidding to mess with you, buddy. Sorry, but you know, you've been saved from a lot of torment by me, and it's time that you catch up with the rest of this body. Just kidding, Dennis. You are. Never mind. All right. So that great voice behind me, a great voice as of a trumpet. So okay, this is strong. saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Okay, that's important right there, especially this part, the first and the last. It's really important. It's important. Certainly, I am Alpha and Omega is too. But there needs to be a contrast in relationship to that little phrase there, the first and the last. That we haven't come to yet in these same verses. Okay, so in verse 10 it says, "I was in." Okay, so first and last. So when we get to verse 16, there is a seeing that takes place. Okay, and he sees the Lord, and his countenance was as the sun that shineth in its strength. And I saw him, and I fell down at his feet as dead. Okay, so this is much more powerful than what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration. Because those boys slept through this stuff. You know what I mean? They slept through it. They didn't wake up until Elijah and Moses were leaving. Well, let us build a little. No, just hush. You know what I mean? He missed it. But John is not missing it now because he was there. Remember that? And Jesus also shined so bright, and yet there was certain elements missing because they were sort of unmoved and didn't even think about this Mount of Transfiguration thing until way later. But this thing, he sees all of that and he falls down as if he's dead. Right? As dead. That's important. I think we've been talking about this. Amen? All right. So, and I saw him and I fell at his feet as dead. So, here John is no longer imprisoned, as it were. He's dead. You know what I mean? We're worrying about one thing, you know. Well, I need Jesus. I'm imprisoned or whatever. Well, go to Jesus. No, he'll kill me. I think I'll stay here in prison. And have them write plays about me. Just kidding. It's great stuff. I'm sorry. I tease you. I want you to take all that I press on you, Kelly, and in teasing, and put it on Dennis. Would you do that for me, Dennis? So John is about to experience reality of a greater bondage than he had in imprisonment. And this is something that we all have to come to, because it's usually an unseen bondage that we have no clue, and we're happy in the Lord, and we're happy on the hillside, amen, we're happy and everything's good, and we're in bondage. We are in deep bondage, and we don't really understand that. And John is the epitome. He's the example that's being given here of that reality. I wrote down, John's release from bondage has just begun. Okay. So in verse 16 through 18, again, I'll read parts of that, but let's go ahead and go through that. And his countenance, this is the latter part of 16, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And this, here's the important words, and I saw him. Okay, what happened before?
He heard him,
but now he's seeing him. Release from bondage. Does that sound good to anybody?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And John, bless his heart, he's leading the way for us. Hallelujah. And I saw him and I fell at his feet as dead. Oh, man. Can't I see him and go glow also like him? You know? But there's a process. There's a process. And God has to take us to it, because there is a need of more eye opening, if you will. So verse 17 says this, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Remember, we saw that in the, what was it, verse 11 or something like that? But he had only heard that. Yeah, he'd only heard that he was the first and the last. Now he sees Jesus, and now he says, I'm the first and the last. He's going, oh, my seeing is greater than my hearing.
Praise the Lord.
And your seeing is greater than your hearing. And don't be content, and don't stop.
Hallelujah.
And don't grab the first thing that comes along and make a little altar there and call it everything. Keep I can't breathe. Man. Dennis said, we make a good team here, don't we? He said, he stuck his tongue out at me. We got a long future together, except you're 80 already, right? And I'm so... Bye-bye. Oh, I get away with more stuff than most people can. Don't I? Terrible. Anyway, he said, and it was really, really good, in the book of Job at the very end of it, after going through all this stuff, chapter after chapter after chapter after chapter, says, I have heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now I see thee face to face, and the glorious thing is, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes.
Wow.
Huh. I think one of my daughters dated a guy. His name was Dust and Ashes. I could be wrong about that. You know,
no.
Ben, you better watch out. If a guy named Dustin Ashes comes around to the door, man, don't let him in. Oh, God. You know, people say, you know, Randy, how can you be so spiritual at times? And then you just turn into this ridiculous thing, you know. I is what I is. Anyway, I'm the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Wait a minute, I need to go back. I'm he that liveth, and behold, yeah, this is, I'm glad I went back. I am the first and the last, I am, bunch of I ams here, I am he that liveth and was dead. Okay, so all this is going on. You thought, I bet you, I could be wrong, but you thought that when Jesus laid his hands on John, that he stood up and resurrected. He didn't. Jesus is still talking to him and he's laying down there as though dead. You know? And what is he saying? I am the first and the last. I am the beginning and the end. I am the I am. And you are the you ain't. Amen? We just accept that. And we don't, after a while you hate it. I want to be the what was it in Galatians 2:20 that I, never mind. I'm getting old, my mind's slipping, and so's my back, or whatever. All right. And I am he that was dead and am alive forevermore. And Jesus says, amen. Did you ever notice that?
That's right.
That's right. It's like, well, you go, man. This is a good service, Jesus. You know, we're rolling with you, brother. And I have the keys to death and hell, or hell and death. Sorry. Okay, so he's the I am, he's the first and the last, he's the beginning and the end, and originally John heard it, but now John sees it in a dead state with himself. Thanks, Jessica. Yeah, he doesn't just see it, he sees it in a dead state concerning himself. And now he's ready to see it and to receive it and to, you know, and to let Jesus be the I am. So, again, no mention of dead John. That was his nickname after this. Whatever happened to old dead John? He died. He's still laying down there, folks. He's still down there listening to all of this, but all of that is going to get into him, okay? And stuff's going to start flying. And I need to quit cutting jokes so I can finish this. No wonder these things go so long. No amens, Cassie. Okay. In verse 19, he says to dead John, write the things which thou hast seen. I don't want you repeating what you heard. You're supposed to be meditating on that, not spitting that out. I want it to be something you've seen. Hallelujah. Amen. So, those things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. So what's he writing about then? I mean, because that's what he said. Well, that what he's seen is what's right in front of him. I am he that was dead, but now I live. That's what he sees. Okay? And then the things that are, as God sees it, the I am are the things that are. That's bad grammar. Right, Mallory? Spirit. That's because you're plugged into the spiritual meaning of that. I are that, Jesus said. That was a miracle right there all by itself. Amen. Amen. So the I am is seeing the things as God sees them. Okay? Because that am. You know? I know this is horrible grammar, but it's true. Okay? And then the things to come, which he said, I'm the first and the last, so I'm what's coming, and I'm all going to be showing up later on, all the way through it. Okay? So this is what he's seeing. You know? He's not seeing heaven yet. He's still not even seeing resurrection yet. He's just laying there watching Jesus and listening to what he's saying and applying them both. All right, so let's go to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation 4. And this is going to, the King James word usage is come up hither. But my title is come up here. Come up here. Okay. You need to come up here to see things that the way they are in relationship to Him, the way He is, the truth of the way He is, not our perceived truth of Him, even based on what we've heard. No, seriously, not. He is about to experience the Lord in an incredible way. All right? So, Revelation 4, verse 1 and 2. After this, I looked. Yeah, he cut that hearing out. You know, I mean, don't cut it out if you're not going to look. Amen? Come on, give me an amen there. But let's how's that thing go? Let's go deeper or deep, sorry. Time to dig. This is my version. Yes, because that's always, see, if you dig deep, then okay, I did it. But if you're digging deeper, you're always doing it. Yeah. Amen. Okay, so, where was I? Okay, after I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me and saying, come up hither. But remember, there's more in these steps. There's hearing, there's seeing, and then there's come up here. Should I repeat that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's hearing first, there's seeing it, and then they're seeing it way up there the way that it is. And I'm really not talking about heaven. I'm talking about in the reality of God's heart and mind, the way that He sees and the way that He, you know, comprehends. Come up here, and that's gonna short circuit hearing and seeing. Wow. It's gonna just be.
Praise God. Amen.
Yeah. I want that. I want it all the time. And I want it to so, I'm going to use that word again, so circumvent Randy and Randy's sight and Randy's hearing and all this stuff that is fine on the way, but get me to the place. A door was opened in heaven, and the voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me. I love that. Which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Meaning, everything's going to change from now on, buddy. Everything's going to stay down. He hadn't raised him up yet. Stay dead. Right? You know, let's stay dead. You know, don't jump up and go, hey, can I? You know, he's like, no, you can't. Get back down there. come up hither, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit. Did you hear that any other place?
Yeah.
Where, somebody tell me where you heard it before. On the Lord's Day, absolutely. But that was on the earth. And it was good, and it was of God and everything else. But it didn't see what this was seeing, and it didn't come up where it really counts. Because we're trying to make it count here. It's supposed to, on earth as it is. In heaven. Amen? That's the order. You know, we're going, well, just bring it all down here to us, you know. And he's going, no, I want you to come up here. And he does. And he does want that. Okay. Show you things. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne. Okay. There's not going to be, you know, no contesting the throne anymore. You know, well, you know, I've got my rights. You know, I'm the husband. Or I've got my rights. I'm the wife. Or I'm the mother of these children. Or all the things that try to contest what is and what will never change. And that's where it is. And yes, it's going to filter down into us. But if we never see that in the as it is, up there, and I'm not talking about heaven again, I'm talking about in the reality, in the realm that is God, and we don't see that, then it eventually turns to dust. It must be breathed forth from something that was and is to come. Really? No, I'm serious. It's got to. It must. And see, there's nothing wrong with that if you're one of those that says, you know, let's dig deeper, because you're always going to be digging deeper until you hit China. Except for this is spiritual reality that we're talking about. Amen. So a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on that throne. Isn't that cool, the wording? This is what he's seeing up there. He came up there. Now he knows how to use his seeing. And he looks, and there's one sitting on the throne. Okay. The first reality that comes with that is, I'll never be able to sit there unless I'm seated in him, not seated on the throne. In him that was and is to come. In him that's the first and the last. You see, the one that is Alpha and Omega. Until that happens, it's all true, it's all real, but it cannot, it doesn't breathe this atmosphere. It comes from that place. And when you try to work it into the fabric of the earth, and it just doesn't. It doesn't hold, you know, forever. Anyway, so, and being in the spirit, on, you know, on the Lord's Day is definitely hillside. But what he's talking about is, what's that other group name? Oh, yeah. Yes, yes. So, the rest of this story, by the way, is going to be about the house sheep reality, okay? John is going to be no longer continuing his temporal ministry. He's not going to just be seeing things in relationship to problems on the earth and looking for answers on Patmos. Because he's not on Patmos, but he's dead. I know, isn't that crazy? I kept seeing, I'm a very visual person. I kept seeing Jesus just talking to me. He's just, I don't know, but just a real weird picture of him. Just he's like, I can't do anything, man. I'm dead. You're telling me to write? Anyway, I'm sorry. So fixing problems is hillside for sure, but there's an eternal door opened in heaven. Okay. It's eternal. It's in God's realm. It's not just heaven that I want to go to and get a mansion and all this kind of stuff. This is God's realm. This is God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit's realm. And they live that realm. They are that realm. There is light, and because God is also light, and there's love because God is love, and there's all these things, but they're not attributes. Mercy might be an attribute. There might be a bunch of, you know, attributes, but these are God. God is. And it's not going to happen no matter how much, you know, you hear or whatever. It's going to happen as you're ready to see Him who was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. Now you're dead, buddy. Forevermore. There you go. Thank you. So no more fixing, you know, the problems of earth, and no more, you know, needing a touch. Now you just soak it in, you know. You don't have all of that. So it's an eternal door. And I wrote down, who is Emmanuel? Emmanuel, we say God with us, but it is God who is from above. Again, don't go to heaven. It's this reality that is above this earth, and this earth lacks. Even if we can juggle some of the parts that we hear, it lacks. It has to be thy kingdom come. And He told us to pray this. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is right there. Thy kingdom come. Amen. So, so we seek answers. I'm just reading now. We seek answers. We look at the problems of earth. We're trying to get God to fix our problems of a carnal existence. We need answers. So we call Him down here, and we say, come down here, instead of come up here. Yeah. See? So in the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Hallelujah. Gospel of John, chapter 3. And you're familiar with these, but I think they apply. John 3 and verse 30 and 31. Okay, I'm going to read through it and then make some comments. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth, he's earthly. And speaketh of the earth, he that cometh from heaven is above. That's a repeat. So who must increase? Thank you. The one from above. The one from above. The one, come up here. Well, if you don't come up there, you don't even really know the one that's from above. Because it's not talking about up and down. This isn't, you know, physics or whatever. You know, I'm going to use physics and figure God out. Okay, good luck. He must increase. Why must the one from above increase? Because he's above all. Very simple. In the church, people are not being changed. I have to read this because the way I wrote it. In the church, people are not being changed. They're being recycled. It's the same old trash over and over. Please bless Ishmael, oh God. Amen. Come on. Come on. Please bless Ishmael. Oh, just, you know. And God says, okay, well, I'll bless him if you'll cast him and her out. And then he'll be blessed over there. But, you know, and we say, you know, oh, Lord, you know, I just want to know you as the Passover lamb. And he says, okay, I'll show you myself as the Passover lamb, but you got to get the leaven out of your house.
That's right. Hallelujah. Yes.
Not everybody knows what that is, but yeah, shakalabaka, get that cow out of here. I'll tell him the story someday, but you know, I used that all over South America and everywhere I went. Yeah, and they all liked it, you know what I mean? They got it. It was like, it's funny, but I like that. Okay, so so we bring those things, that leaven, to Jesus, and we want him to touch it, you know, and make it better instead of getting it out now. And in truth now, he's dealt with it at the cross, you know? I mean, because the cross is above us too, you know what I'm saying? By the way, weren't those women strong lifting this big old wooden? And they just were like, one hand, let's just put that in there. Yeah. 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 Well, physical exercise profiteth little. Actually, the actual translation is a little. All right. So, cast out the bondwoman. We bring them to Jesus that touches, but we want him to touch these things and make them better and bless them and touch them. But a nail-scarred hand imparts. Yes. It's not touching your infirmities. Yes. It's imparting the crucified life, if you will. And that's Christ. We know that. But, you know, I'm just using terminology to help get it across a little. Yeah, yeah. It's exactly right. So we're looking just for that. It's like looking for Jesus of Nazareth. We're looking for Jesus of Nazareth because he doesn't have any nail scars yet. Come touch me. Just like you did in the Gospels before you died on the cross. I want a relationship with the hillside shepherd. Still glad I'm preaching tonight? Want a relationship with the hillside shepherd, you know? Well, there's an easy way to figure out which one you're appealing to, and that is just open his hand and look and put something cold in it. I don't thank you for the help. I'm going to have a little swig. Most pastors don't call that a swig. And they don't drink it like the way I usually do, which is... Whoopee! You're showing what a reprobate husband you have. All right. So you check that hand. You see that nail scar. Yes, Lord. Yes. What's funny, this is the hand for my trigger finger that I got surgery, so I've got a scar right there, too. All right, we're almost done here. Who said that? Yeah, good save. That's what he... See, they're on to you. Okay, we're almost done. Come on, people. Okay. So when John met the Lord in this way, his whole everything changed. It was no longer that earthly thing. You know, he had been a pastor at Ephesus. Did you know that? That John was a pastor at Ephesus. He'd been around longer than the rest of them. They all had died off and everything else. And then, when he was old, he has this time where a voice says, come up here and I will show you things. It is amazing. And everything changes for him. And it's no longer about, you know, earthly ministry in that sense. It's about life. And you've read some of his epistles. It's so powerful. And yet, you know, never mind. I don't want to go there. All right. So I wrote Paul, the Apostle Paul. He was blinded by looking toward the heavens. You know what I mean? I always envision him riding along and he can see and he's, you know, going to do his job and he's going to cut out everything that's wrong with his religion and all this. And he's going to fix it all. And he's going to, yeah, you know, all this stuff. And all of a sudden, Jesus appears and he becomes blinded because he was blind. He couldn't see this reality. And I often thought for a long time there, all he could see was what was emblazoned before he went blind, and that's Jesus. Wow. It just sees Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? It's wonderful. Pray to be blinded, amen? And then it says of Paul in Hebrews 8, it calls him a minister of the heavenly sanctuary. What was that sermon I preached before? God showed up at our church. Let's go tell everybody. In our church, yeah. Oh, I got to quit doing that. Especially with my phone there. Never mind. Sorry. And then... So that's Hebrews 8, 2 through 5, where he's a minister of the heavenly sanctuary. And it changes your ministry, and this is my final words, because you're changed. Because you're changed. Amen. Amen.